We've built a culture that worships at the altar of practicality. Walk into any meeting where someone proposes something meaningful, abolishing performance reviews, reimagining leadership, creating genuine community, and watch what happens. Rarely does anyone argue with the vision itself. Instead, the room fills with a chorus of, how? How do we get there? Where has this worked before? What's the ROI? These questions feel reasonable, even responsible. But what if they're actually the very thing preventing us from creating what matters most? What if our obsession with methodology has become a sophisticated form of resistance to the life we actually want to live? Think about the last time you asked how in a meeting or conversation. Beneath that question often lies something deeper than curiosity. It's doubt masquerading as diligence. We've turned how into our favorite defense mechanism, a way to appear engaged while actually keeping ourselves safe from commitment. Here's the uncomfortable truth. We already have countless answers to how. We've been collecting methodologies, frameworks, and best practices for years. Our bookshelves groan under their weight. Yet we keep asking the question, and when we finally act on an answer, we often find ourselves disappointed. Why? Because we're trying to live someone else's answer to someone else's question about someone else's life. The how question expresses our deepest wish for control in an uncontrollable world. We believe somewhere out there exists the right way, not our way, but a proven, validated, risk-free path that someone else has already walked. Saying yes isn't naive optimism. It's a radical stance toward your own life. It means asking questions about values and purpose that productivity hacks can't solve. Start here. What refusal have I been unable to say? If you can't say no, your yes means nothing. Every agreement that deadens your spirit says yes to someone else's agenda and no to your own. Then ask, what is my contribution to the problem I'm concerned with? This strips away victimhood. When your team lacks trust or your organization feels soulless, you're not just observing, you're participating. Acknowledging your role doesn't mean accepting blame. It means reclaiming power. The most powerful question, what question, if you had the answer, would set you free? Don't rush past this. Sit with it. The question itself matters more than any answer. Each time you ask it, you point yourself toward what actually matters, cutting through the noise of what you think you should want. We've surrendered our freedom by making bosses into gods and wondering why we feel powerless. We've convinced ourselves of four dangerous myths: that bosses control our future, that they're essential to our development, that they create our workplace culture, and that they possess crucial information we lack. Each belief is fiction. Promotions are political theater influenced by timing and chemistry, factors no one controls. Your boss doesn't know your future better than you do. The power dynamic distorts their vision of you. Here's the liberation. Your boss doesn't have what you want. What you truly seek, meaning, purpose, a life that matters, can't be granted by someone else. The moment you accept this, you stop being a supplicant and become a citizen. You stop waiting for permission to care about your work, to bring your values into your workplace, to create the culture you want to inhabit. Remember when you believed work could be meaningful? That idealism got beaten out of you. The culture called it growing up. But cynicism isn't wisdom. It's exhausted idealism. This transactional mindset has infected everything. We barter our commitment, making it conditional on what we'll receive. Organizations build reward systems, assuming people only do what they're paid for, a self-fulfilling prophecy. But the artist doesn't create for the paycheck. The teacher doesn't stay late for overtime. They've found something more powerful than a transaction, a calling. We're losing something essential in our rush toward efficiency. We've traded face-to-face conversations for video calls, classrooms for online modules, neighborhoods for social media feeds. Customer intimacy now means data mining. Relationship building is a sales strategy. When we choose virtual over visceral, we're choosing a life that can be managed over one that must be felt and experienced. We've made speed a virtue and depth its casualty, seeking answers in soundbites and transformation in workshops. We've convinced ourselves that thinking is a luxury we can't afford, that reflection is procrastination. But speed protects us from sitting with ourselves. It fills the void so we don't have to face what we actually want or who we actually are. When Christ spent 40 days in the desert, he wasn't wasting time. He was confronting his doubts to emerge with clarity about his purpose. That kind of transformation doesn't happen in a weekend workshop. The things that matter are measured by depth, not pace. Love isn't a sprint. Wisdom doesn't come with overnight shipping. Creating something meaningful takes time because depth requires us to sit with uncertainty, question our assumptions, and let go of easy answers. When we make speed our measure of success, we guarantee we'll only achieve what's immediately achievable, which is usually the least interesting thing we could do. You don't need more training. You need education that reveals who you are, not just what you can do. The kind found in literature, philosophy, art, and history. Your expertise has become a cage. You've mastered your field, but forgotten how to think. Start with yourself. What captures your attention when you should be working? What would you pursue if money weren't a concern? Your desires aren't distractions. They're directions pointing toward the life you're meant to live. This requires surrendering your ambition for approval. The culture promises that loyalty and productivity will bring security and belonging. But examine those who've achieved what you think you want. Are they free or just more anxious, more trapped by success? Giving up ambition doesn't mean abandoning desire. It means trading recognition for meaning, the life you think you should want for the life that's actually yours. It means committing to something larger than yourself without expecting anything in return, because only when you choose without expectation do you know you've chosen freely. We must make peace with mystery. Human systems aren't machines. Organizations aren't problems to be solved. People aren't variables to be controlled. The demand for certainty in human affairs is futile. It's an assault on freedom itself. The most meaningful problems don't have solutions. They have questions that need to be lived with, sat with, honored. Stop asking how, as if it's the only question that matters. Start asking why, and what for, and what if. Your life isn't a problem to be solved. It's a mystery to be lived. The culture will keep selling you certainty and five-step programs. But what you actually need is the courage to say yes to what matters, no to what doesn't, and maybe to everything else. The answer to how has always been yes. Yes to your values, yes to your purpose, yes to the life waiting for you to claim it. Not someday when you have more resources or clearer direction. Now, today, with everything you have and everything you are.